1440 KVON 99.3 The Vine. This is Kelly, and we are speaking today right now with Dinah Cross James. She's an artist, and she has brought in one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen, I have to say. It's called Journeys. It's her new book. We're going to hear all about it and hear about her journey. But good morning, Dinah. It's good to have you here.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful.
So tell us about your art, and when did you first start painting?
Oh, well, my family always considered me a little artist. I made my own paper dolls when I was young.
Wow.
And we had a summer home in northern Idaho, and we just made everything. We made our own wraps. We made our own paper dolls. We just were very, you know, down to earth. But the creative process, Kelly, has always been extremely important to me. And I think without it, I would be pretty unhealthy, for it really helped me get through one of the most terrifying tragedies that any of us can experience. In 1990, my daughter was a sophomore at Berkeley, and she and her boyfriend tried to save a third student in a fraternity fire. And all three kids perished. But what is tremendously revealing to me is the body of work that was done 9 years prior to the loss of Tali. And I feel that on some deep level, I was preparing myself. I was painting volcanoes and bones, a series of skulls.
Wow.
I was also painting my crazy teenage daughter as a Raggedy Ann doll. And these images were surrounded with black skies and red skies. And
what had been your style prior to that? Like, what were you painting?
Well, I had been an illustrator for Sunset Books, and I did a lot of their cookbooks. I was on staff, and then I started freelancing for Sunset. And gradually, I started doing other painting, other work, flowers, still lifes of apples.
So this was a big jump.
Oh, yes, very big. And then in 1980, Mount St. Helens started to erupt, and I got very excited about that. I've always loved geology, and actually, I'm just working on a new series of the Iceland volcano.
Oh.
But Mount St. Helens in Washington was very important to me, and I ended up going in the crater with a geologist, that was after 2 years of painting it. It blew in 1980. And I had been a fashion illustrator in Portland, Oregon, and I knew the editors at the Oregonian, and so I called them and I said, I really want to go in the crater.
Oh my gosh, and you're brave.
Well, I went in 82, inside the crater in 82. I'd flown in the crater three times in August of 80, and, you know, consecutive, you know, times after that, but the 1982 trip in the crater was very exciting, because everything was there. The walls were coming down. There were, you know, earthquakes every 3 minutes, and I started to climb the cone, and the geologist Don Swanson said, "Don't go near there. You can't go up there." And I looked up, and some of his orange cones were just getting sucked in by the lava. They were just disappearing. So it was a very, very exciting trip, but. And then we were in Africa, and we were with my daughter, and I was taking pictures of bones and dead animals and was fascinated with loss and separation. And then the whole series of my daughter as a Raggedy Ann doll.
And the book goes in order of this?
Uh-huh. And the Raggedy Ann dolls are on, I think it's page 49. 49 is the beginning.
You have to
of
see
that.
This book. This book is just stunning. It's very large and
so
glossy pages, and oh my gosh, the colors, a lot of, but look at the dark colors that you're bringing in.
Well, for 9 years, the colors were very, very dark, and this was all prior to the loss of Tali. There's the deaths of Raggedy Ann,
Raggedy Ann, and surrounded by black, and
So then, the 3 months before the fire in the summer of 90, I started painting her as a bird, and the bird is the symbol of spiritual freedom, and she was first year in college and free and going into her sophomore year, and then in September, on the day of my 25th wedding anniversary, we said goodbye to my daughter at the airport, and 4 days later, she was killed in the fire. And then I continued to paint her as a bird, and that was really helped me express the grief. And
oh my gosh.
Gradually, you know, I also had to paint her in the fire. I did drawings of her in the fire. And so because I was painting birds, people started giving me birds. Dead birds would land on my porch of my
really?
Studio, and friends would bring me bags of feathers. And
she, now let's go back to a minute to the fire. Was she in the building, and then, or did she go into the building?
No, she was in the building with her boyfriend, and they went down the hall to try to save Ryan, the third student, and they Doug, Tolly's boyfriend, got the door kicked in, and then the kids all collapsed of smoke inhalation, and they were found. They didn't find them until the next day.
Oh.
But, you know, the painting really did save me, and the light energy series that you're looking at right now began as a result of the birds, and gradually the birds, because of all these feathers, the monotypes that I was doing at the time, one day a feather fell on one of these monotypes that I was working with, and I was really so excited about the way the image of a feather worked with the technique and the monotype process.
What is a monotype, Dinah?
It's a printing process where you paint on a plexiglass plate, and you lay a piece of paper over that paint on the plexiglass, and then you run it through a press, and you come out with monotype, which means one print. And it's an original, and you can rework it because you will have a ghost image on that plate, but you will never get exactly the same print.
Wow.
So the Light Energy series was a series of monotypes that went on for 3 years. And then we were living in Portola Valley at the time, and my husband wanted to leave California. He wanted to move to Oregon. And we lived near Windy Hill, and you'll see that series on page 127, is it? 120, yeah. There you are. That's one of them there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so anyway, I loved Windy Hill so much that I just couldn't leave Windy Hill. But so I started painting it. And every time I did a painting of Windy Hill, it would sell. So I started keeping my favorites. And this is in the 90s, and I'm still painting Windy Hill. I mean,
wow.
I just donated some to the Napa Valley Education.
Yes.
They had a fundraiser last Saturday, and I donated one of these to that. And then we moved to Bend, Oregon, and bought a ranch, and that was a wonderful experience. And then in 1997, my husband and I were trekking in Bhutan, and he said, "I'm leaving you," and I was shocked.
Aww.
So the end of my 32-year marriage brought me back to California, and I came to St. Helena and bought a home and met this wonderful man, a doctor, and he raised roses. So now you're looking at the roses, and he helped me plant 48 rose bushes in my backyard.
And then so you had to paint them, didn't you?
Exactly. So I would take these bouquets of roses and paint them in my studio. And it was really a time of coming through the grief and the healing. Mm. And then in 2005, I started a series of global warming, and that's on page 147. And the global warming series, I titled The Four Elements, and they're water, fire, earth, and sky.
Oh, so
and they're
beautiful.
Very tiny images. They're all 5x6, and they're oil paintings on paper. And I've done over 350 of them.
5x6 inches?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're stunning.
Yeah, they're wonderful. That's very exciting. Very exciting series. I'm still doing that. And then, the next chapter is on India. And in 2007, I went back to India for the second time, and it was an extensive trip, all the way from Delhi over to Varanasi, and then through Rajasthan, Udaipur, Jaipur, down to Mumbai, and then all the way to the southern tip of India, to Kerala. And when I got home, I remembered that I'd had a book on Indian miniatures that I had, you know, bought maybe 20 years ago, and I found that book, and I started transposing the Indian miniatures into large abstracts. And the one of the important themes is the Byzantine perspective, which I studied at Mills College in when I was an art major there. Mm-hmm. And so that is discussed in the chapter. And then also the Mughals and the Maharajas had herds of elephants. Some wealthy families had as many as 100.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Wow.
100 elephants. But they would decorate them in these beautiful silk capes. And so I started painting these elephant capes. And you'll see those in the book. And then also another theme that was very, very important were the Rajputs, which were a highly esteemed military aristocracy. And they worshipped their shields. And so I started painting these ancient warrior shields. So that's another.
I can't believe one person can have so many amazing paintings. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, there are. It was really like every morning in the studio, I didn't know what was going to come out. But it was like a gold mine for 3 years. Half of this book is about the images that in India. And now you're looking at the foldout, which is another image that I was really excited about were the palaces and the beautiful arches, the curved, the scalloped arches that were in all of their palaces. But instead of just doing columns, which were mostly white with a lot of pattern on them, mm-hmm. I'm using the colors of the saris. I mean, they're beautiful pinks and reds and blues and turquoise and. So that's how I'm using the color in that imagery.
So beautiful. We're speaking with Dinah Cross James, and you know what I like about the book too is that it has narrative in it to talk about and go into more detail, even what you're telling us this morning, with each chapter.
Right.
So it's really a wonderful, beautiful book. It will make a great gift for yourself or for someone else. And Dinah, you have an open studio coming up. Why don't you tell us about that?
Saturday the 30th, my studio will be open from 2 to 6. And it's a wonderful studio. I just had some people in there from Chicago yesterday, and they had seen my work at Summerston, where I'm showing some of this work, and Yountville at the wine tasting place. And anyway, they were so excited about the studio and the work that they walked out with paintings. So
yay, that's good. That's a real good thing.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful studio, and it's in the Tannery on Coombe Street in Napa, mm-hmm. and I'm in Studio D and D2 and D3.
Okay,
D
as in Dinah.
Right.
I love that. Yeah. We are going to put this in the blog this morning so people can find you. And what are the hours?
From 2 to 6.
On next two Saturdays.
Saturday the 30th and Saturday, November 6th, the following Saturday.
Otherwise, are you open by appointment?
Yes.
How can people find you?
And they can call me at 967-8109.
Yeah. And what about the book? Where can we find this book?
The book you can get online, or you can get it from me by calling the number, my phone number. And my website is Dinah Cross James. It's DinahCrossJames .net.
.net. Okay, I put that on the blog,
too. Oh, .com.
Oh, is it .com?
So, sorry.
That's okay. I know. It's always hard to remember which one it is.
Yeah, my email is dinacross.net.
dinacrossjames.com. We'll put that on the blog as well.
Okay.
And Dinah has brought in 5 books to give away. I mean, these are stunning. I can't express it enough. These are huge, beautiful books, and you'll want to have it out on your coffee table for people to browse through, and you're just going to love it. And this is such a gift of you to share this many books with my listeners. Yeah. I'm really kind of blown away by it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take the first 5 callers.
Okay. Great.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. So call in now, 257-VINE, 257-8463 or 255-KVON-255-5866. And Dinah, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. I loved it.
So first five callers. If you get a busy signal at the Vine, you know, a lot of times you can get in easier if you go 255-KVON-255-5866. Just a little hint, helpful hint for you callers.
I got the magic in me.